Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, our passage this morning comes from Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 to 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's orders was urgent and the fire in the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace and declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps and the prefects, the governors and the counselors and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over their bodies, over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. And no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up the bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
For those who haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Nelly, and I'm really blessed to be here. Just a little bit about myself. I'm married. Praise God. And I have 3 children. I'm married to a Filipina as well, so shout out to my people-in-law, Mabuhay. I have 3 children, Nazareth, Zion, and Jordan. And so we all send greetings from the Kuparu side of your family. So I'm really blessed to be here. And thank you, Pastor Henry and Helen, for your leadership here. In our church family here. Can we give it up for Pastor Henry and Helen as they lead our family here? And I wanted to send a special shout out to everybody who volunteers here. as a part of the ministry. I know the kids' church team are serving now, but I really wanted to acknowledge, you know, our three champions here. I know Ezekiel's not there right now. He's gone to be with Jesus already. He's raptured. But shout out to Nehemiah, shout out to Levi, serving so faithfully, and shout out to our worship team as well, who serve again so faithfully. They come out to Kupuru to rehearse every Friday and spend a couple of hours there, you know, under the leadership of Marius and Natalia, who I, you know, like honor as well, and then come here super early to set up, you know, those amps. They're as heavy as they look. You know, they bring them in their vehicles, and you know, my brother Yang brings this. You know, he's even like pierced holes in his cymbals to make it look amazing. Sounds pretty good too. I want a shirt like that, bro. Anyway, I just really want to honor all of you who serve to make this house a place where people feel welcome. And I, you know, like our time of worship after I get done teaching the Word of God here today, I wanted to, you know, just let the worship team just worship. So me and my sister Natalia, we're just going to lead us in worship and at the end of this. So I'm really excited to serve you in this capacity as well today. So we are in the series, and we're also in the same series in Kupuru as well, called A Light in Babylon. And I think Pastor Henry's done a fantastic job of unraveling the series so far. What I did want to ask right at the top, and this is the question that I wanted to pose to you: are you here today? Right? And if you are here today, is the real you here today? Because if the real you is here today, you will find out who the real you is when you're under pressure. And so you've all heard this passage that Pastor Henry's just read from Daniel chapter 3, and if there was ever an opportunity for people to be under pressure, it was these three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What's interesting is they operated in a society that forced them to get new names. They had to have new jobs. They were taken into exile, and we understand that what happened was there was a king, there was a lineage of kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord in the land of Judah. And so what inevitably happened was the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar came and raided the nation of Judah, and the capital was Jerusalem, and took the people under exile in Babylon. They tore the city apart. And so now they've been moved there. And so when we see this exile... Oh, that's the title of my message, by the way. Another in the fire. When we see this exile, what happens and what was different about it from what happened in Egypt, for those of you who are familiar with what happened in Egypt, the Israelites were also taken into exile there, but it was a form of slavery. What happens here is, as you can see this diagram behind me, you can see that they were able to operate with positions of power and authority even in exile. And so this is what makes the exile that we live in here in Brisbane, not that, you know, Brisbane is a slave colony or anything like that, but we are operating in a world of which we are not necessarily bound to, because we know that we are not of this world, but we are in this world, right? And so much like what you see here, you can see a lighted peoples here in the midst of a world that holds different values to you, right? And when you see this, you begin to think about the responses that you might have. So say, for instance, if society presents a set of values that are different to your values, you can either be in outrage or you can just blend in and compromise. So the way I line it up, it'll be like, you know, you can revolt against the values that are different, or you can compromise under those values. Let me give you an example. Last night, our time, you know, being a part of the Commonwealth, there was a new king coronated, right? King Charles. And so there are many different opinions. Charles isn't my king, hashtag, right? And there are those who are loyalists to the royal family of England. But there are varying opinions because this has happened. And probably even in this room there are varying opinions, right? I'm not going to state my opinions because my opinions really don't matter. But the way that we opinionate, especially now that everybody with an opinion has a TikTok or an Instagram account or, all of a sudden you want to pull yourself up on Reels. And you want to shoot yourself, not shoot yourself, but like shoot video yourself. I want to be careful how I say things like this in church. You want to record yourself making statements of your opinions, right? And so this can be our attitude. We live in a situation where the inner outrage is burning even brighter because everybody has a microphone, everybody has a smartphone now, and everybody has an opinion and has followers and is living for the blue check, on their Instagram so that they can be official with my opinion. And so this is the world that we live in, and there's more outrage and it burns like a fire into society. So one of the ways that we can live out in our response to culture is just compromise, or we can be outraged against it to the point where we want to kill people, literally kill people who hold an opposing view. It might be a political view. It might be a view on, like right now we're in the middle of this weekend. That's why I'm blessed the real Christians are here, because it's magic round. So just kidding. I mean, Broncos, we already took care of it on Friday night, right? We already took care of it. Take care of business, right? But, although my point is, you go down there, and it's been interesting to note, right? Whether you go to a soccer game in England in the English Premier League, or you go to a basketball game now in the NBA, or you go to Suncorp during Magic Round, you'll notice, get a bit of liquid anointing in us, and all of a sudden, we're outraged because, the ref made a bad call, and then we're turning around and having fights in the stands because of the outrage. And then all of a sudden, somebody pulls up their phone and records, and before you know it, you're all over. There's this outrage. This is my point. There's this outrage that's in us with regards to opinions that really don't matter. Do you understand that what rugby league consists of these grown men carrying this little leather pigskin across a painted line, and 65,000 people are gathered in, in the church, in Suncorp Stadium to cheer on our team. I mean, I'm a Broncos supporter through and through, man, since a teenager, but our opinions and our outrages are sometimes for things that really don't matter. Does it really matter your opinion on who the top five rappers are of all time? Does it really matter, whether you think that Taylor Swift or Beyonce is the queen of pop music right now? Does it really matter who your team is? Does it really matter who's on the throne here on earth? Because we serve a king who lives eternally, but it's for whatever reason, we've diminished life to have outrage towards these things that really don't matter in the scope of eternity. And this is how our Babylon affects us. So when the time comes when we're called to bow down at the idols of this world, we bow down. This is the society of which Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego live in. And this is the sort of society, just change the technology, of which we live in here in Brisbane. Brisbane is our Babylon. Australia is our Babylon. Now, I'm not speaking bad of Babylon was that way, and this is the way Australia is in terms of culture, but there are many nuances that make it very similar. So when we look at this scripture, this is Jeremiah 29, and I often joke that verse 11 is the refrigerator verse because you put it on the refrigerator magnet and you stick it there, right? But no one reads the verses before it. Jeremiah wrote at the same time as Daniel. And this was his approach. This was his exhortation. Jeremiah is commonly known as the weeping prophet. You know why he was weeping? Because no one listened to him. He still made the Bible. And so he writes the latter part. The last part of Jeremiah is kind of like in Psalm 1, we have this expression, yeah, wow. I told you. Like the first part of Jeremiah is, guys, we need to turn. We need to turn away from our sin. He like even would dress in like sackcloth and ashes, like a potato sack. And like, guys, if we don't turn from our sin, this is what life is going to be like for us. He would get out in the public square and do this, and no one would be listening to him. Oh, it's crazy Jerry. Not Jerry here, but like Jeremiah. Not my brother here. Like, here goes crazy Jerry in the town square with his clean sacks on. You know, like he's out there doing this thing. But no one would listen to him. And then the second part of Jeremiah is, yeah, wow. I told you. And so while they're in exile, read this. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent. This is God speaking. I sent them there from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. What? Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city. Everybody say, seek the welfare of the city. Where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. So there's three reactions to the exile that we're in. Number one, we can either force the fire of outrage and come out with revolt. Number two, we could just compromise to the values. Oh, they're all doing it, so I'll just do it too. Forget about God, right? Or number three, we can do like Jeremiah has exhorted the people to do, is to actually build pockets of what the kingdom of God looks like here in our city of Logan. This is how transformation happens. Because it would be interesting, like most people cry, what, God, why did you send me into exile? Look, if your gospel preaches that you will never suffer, you're going to hate it when you suffer. And you're going to blame God for your suffering. When actually the suffering is, number one, as a result of your sin, of the sin of the world. You didn't want God, and so God said, okay, this is the alternative. But then also, number two, suffering, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is an absence of God. You actually find God as the another in the fire during those times of trial, tribulation that you might face. And some of us in this room are facing literal fires right now. You were looking at your bills before you came here, and you're like, oh, that's a fire. You know, we live in a very uncertain climate economically right now. And fire literally means I could get fired because jobs are up for grabs now because my company's under fire. The pressure is on. The money's not flowing in the same way. But here's how Daniel responds in that climate. And I know Pastor Henry touched on this in the first week. He said, but Daniel resolved. Everybody say resolved. What does resolve mean? Resolve means to have the end in mind. You already know how it's going to end, and that's it. You're dead set on finishing. Nothing's going to shake you from finishing well. Daniel resolved that he would not defile. Everybody say defile. What does defile mean? Defile means you move out of being in file. When you're in the military and you're in a single file, it means to line up with whatever it is in the direction of which the sergeant or the commanding officer says, this is the direction we're going in. So you move in a single file, which means that you line up. To defile means I'm purposely moving out of line so that I won't go in the same direction of which the army of God is calling me to go. And we live in a very individualistic society, which often promotes that sort of thinking. And therefore, we go, oh, you know what? God has got it this way. But Babylon, a.k.a. Brisbane, a.k.a. Logan, has it this way. And so we start to lower our standards apart from the way God has designed us to live. And we wonder why life is hard. And we wonder why things aren't working out the way we want them to. I'm not guaranteeing that following Jesus means that life will be like Disneyland the whole time. Like it'll be easy. But you have somebody in the fire with you who knows the end from the beginning. And Daniel would resolve that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel, favor and compassion. This is what's necessary, right? Favor to open the doors, compassion for those who are through the doors.
in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Now let's move to the passage that Pastor Henry read. And I just wanted to come in a little bit earlier. And I want you to imagine this happening here in Logan City, here in Brisbane, wherever you live. Oh, sorry. Wherever you might live. Wherever you might live. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do." So this is Nebuchadnezzar. He's issuing this decree. Everybody from every nation in Logan, come here, and this is what I'm going to command you to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, whatever a zither is. I wonder what a zither is. Lyre, which is like a guitar, small guitar, a harp, a pipe, and all kinds of music. So any kind of music that was available there, you must fall down and worship in the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So King Nebuchadnezzar has basically got the song. He remixed it in every genre, right? He got the hip-hop producer to do the hip-hop one. Got the techno guy to do the bow down. You know, like that. Got that one. Got the country guy, come on in and bow down. You know, like he had all the genres. The opera guy, I'm not going to do that one, don't worry. Right? Every kind of music was to send out a sound to cause everybody to bow down to his image. And there was this massive statue, huge statue, that no matter where you were in the city, you could see how huge it was, built up. So when you heard that sound, you would bow down. Now, I'm a musician myself. And I'm not going to stand here and talk about how this type of music is bad and this and that. But there are words and things being said in that music that if you expose yourself constantly to them, they become your mindset. They become the way you think. And not only that, sounds are not just music, but like even the chatter, the banter that's around us, right? If you're around a lot of negative talk, or as we say in Tagalog, diba, chismis. If you're around a lot of chismis, in Samoan, faikakala, you know, gossip. If you're around a lot of this, this will affect the way that you live. You defile yourself by the sounds, because it enters your ear gate and affects the condition of your heart and your soul. And upon hearing that sound, if you keep exposing yourself to that sound, it may not necessarily be sound from what you play just on Spotify, but maybe it's the opinions. Have you ever noticed, like, anybody that is on your, like, TikTok feed, right, and you see them and they've got a microphone in front of them, makes it look like official. Oh, I didn't believe his opinion until I saw he had a microphone in front of him. It can be like a cheap Barbie doll microphone, but it's like, oh, he must have a podcast, so he must be official, and I'm going to let that sound of his voice or her voice affect the way I think. And then he says some really ranty type of opinion. You're like, oh, it must be the truth, because he has doctor in front of his name. What's his name? Dr. Dre. You know, like, I'm going to believe what they say. And so just because they have a microphone and they put doctor in front of their name, even though they don't know how to spell university, you're like, oh, I'm going to let that be the sound that affects me, and I'm going to bow down to their opinion. And it affects the way that we interpret the world. Add to that how biblically illiterate this generation is, meaning that how we have a lack of understanding of what the Bible says about specific issues and how God wants us to live in accordance with His Word. If God is a good God and He has designed for us a good life to live, then He has put in His Word the instructions and the impartation for us to be able to live out in the way He's called us to live, right? But it's amazing how a lot of people don't know how to read the Bible, don't know the Word or what the Word says. For my young people in here, we are, because I want to be. Like, but we are bombarded by so many more opinions. I pray for your generation, because the amplification of the noise that's around us is so much louder. You know, the images of pornography are accessible by your phone. Like, back in our day, it was a lot harder to access this stuff. That secret room at the back of Video Easy or Blockbuster. the barn doors that open like this. And you're like, oh, he's gone in the secret room. Right? But now that is accessible right from your phones. What are we doing? Like we're allowing, enabling ourselves to being force-fed this imagery and the sounds of the voices that affect the way we think about issues of identity, about issues of morality, about issues of how we should conduct ourselves in the workplace. And we wonder why abuse, domestic violence, even sexual abuse is at a high when we know that it's not just the act, it's what seeds have been sown in the hearts of men and women through that little digital device that we have in front of us, right? Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, all kinds of music, all the nations of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So everybody bowed down. And the pressure is on, right? Because when we see all of society bowing down, will you bow down as well? Will you compromise your family, your values? Or is this, like the question I asked is, are you here today? Like, are you here today? Is this the real you? Or is there a Sunday version of you? Is this the Sunday remix of you? But my, like Friday night, after a stressed out week at work, we get a Friday night version of you. This is not like the Sunday morning version of you. How many of you know we should have our one version of us? It's the same all the time. As sinners that are desperate in need of the grace of God and would refuse to bow down by His grace at the altar of any God that is around us. The herald loudly, so let's move forward. So these are some of the idols, right? Follow me, bow down and I offer you wealth. Or bow down and I offer you this image of strength. And so whatever you image yourself after becomes who you try to be. Some of us maybe grew up like I did, you know, you have posters on the wall. I had posters of like Jackie Chan, Eddie Murphy, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, because these are like my three heroes of the 80s when I was growing up. I said the 80s. Yes, I'm that old, I know. But like, I wanted to kick like Jackie Chan. I can't even jump that high anymore, right? And I wanted to be strong like Arnold. And I wanted to be funny like Eddie Murphy. And these were the images of, I want to be like that. What are the images of which you put in front of you, that of which you conform to now? So you refuse to assess who the real you is and you become a fake version of those things, right? Or maybe it's popularity and friends. I want to have so many friends and followers and fame. But there are some Jews who you have set over the affairs of the prince of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. So these people came and basically knocked on him. Like, everybody's bowing down, but these three guys haven't bowed down. Just wanted you to know, you know, just so we could pray for them. Just holy gossip, right? They neither serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. So you can imagine how he's feeling right now. This is where we get to it. He's furious with rage. Nebuchadnezzar summoned them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up?" Now he's under pressure. They're before the man. When you come from a culture like my culture, being a Samoan, there's like generally, speaking in generalization, there's a what we call a high distance power dynamic, which means that those whom you hold in high positions, so that can be your matais, your chiefs, but also ministers, you hold them to a certain esteem. I know in the Philippines it's similar, right? Like if you see somebody who holds a spiritual, like they're a priest or a pastor, you reverence them. You know, it's funny, being here in Australia, I was in Singapore before moving here. I lived in Singapore for 8 years, and there's a high power distance. So you know, people would respect, oh, pastor this, and, oh, you know, pastor here, pastor this. And so I would have to shorten the power distance by moving more as a friend in relationship. Move to Australia, it's the opposite way sometimes, eh? Get 8-year-olds calling me Nels. First of all, don't call me Nels. I hate when people call me Nels. Because I grew up, people calling me Nels Bells after the documentary Hell's Bells. I don't want personal trauma, right? No. But like little, you know, like casual. And so that's kind of a switch, you know. Sometimes you need to teach a little bit of respect. No, I'm just kidding. What you call me? Now it's Pastor Nelly. No, just kidding. But like, they are in front of the man. So in this society, there's a high power distance. They're standing before Nebuchadnezzar. And you can imagine, right? He's there. They've got the massive image of him. And the man is now the man and standing in front of them. And so there's all this pressure, societal pressure. Everybody, the hundreds of thousands of people in Babylon and the captive ones who have all bowed down and said, bow down, just bow down. Can you imagine? Family, just telling him, bow down. Just do it, man. You're going to die. You're going to ruin our reputation, our family line. Just bow down. So this rage, which is much like the fiery furnace that he's about to throw them into, is raging inside of him. Now, fire is good, right? Fire is good for heating food. We're going to do that in a little bit. Amen. It's good for the purification of things. When fire is used for its purpose and contained and controlled, it is powerful. But when fire moves into an outrage, it can burn whole cities and forests down. And this is, unfortunately, the rage that was in Nebuchadnezzar. It was uncontrollable. And he used his power to bring about a fire of which he hoped would consume these men who refused to bow. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us. I love their faith, from your majesty's hand. So notice the way their approach. They are respectful towards him. They acknowledge he's king. They acknowledge he is your majesty. And this is the way we approach, right? We can learn from this. We can learn from Christ's example when they tried to trick him with the coin. This coin has the image of Caesar, so is, you know, and Jesus says to him, give to Caesar what is Caesar, what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. It's the same thing here. Respectfully, we understand God in his sovereignty has put this person in place, but I disagree with their politics. So King Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to refuse to bow down. Respectfully, sir, nah. Right? But here's where I want your theology to meet your life right now. And if there's one verse that I want to stick out today to kind of hit home from where you are, whether you're in high school or whether you're here more seasoned, the verse is this, right? If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able, so he can do it, to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold for which you have set up. This is a different level of faith, brothers and sisters. Even if he doesn't, kind of faith. Now think about this for a moment. They did not worship God for the flashy vehicles, flashy chariots, the flashy houses that they could have in Babylon. They did not worship God for what he could do for them on this world. Like, I'm worshiping God just so that I can have a good life, a good wife. They didn't just worship God conditionally, because guess what? The moment that there is suffering and things don't work out their way, you abandon your God at that point. And you discover that your God was never really your God in the first place. Here's where God wants us to get to. That being with God is just enough. Actually, it's more than enough. That in plenty and in lack, in trials and in triumphs, God is with you, and that's all that matters. I know that's easier said than done, but I have literally sat down with people that I minister to, whether it's in my office, you know, counseling people. I remember sitting with a friend of mine in Singapore, and this friend of mine was a hip-hop dancer in Los Angeles and moved to Singapore for an opportunity, and then things didn't work out their way. They were followers of Jesus, but I remember sitting with them, and she was furious at God. And she said, you know what? I came out here for this opportunity that came up, and it hasn't worked out. Where's God now? And she didn't like my answer. I said to her, with all due respect, sis, is God here to serve your plans? Or are you here to be with him and be fully satisfied in him? But if God is good, shouldn't this work out the way I want it to? Well, who's really on the throne at that point, right? Are you just worshiping God so things work out your way? And then you wonder, man, I'm single, I should be married by now. I'm married, I feel like I should be single right now. Just to let you know. This is real church, right? Like the real people, I'm just saying. But like that's often the case, right? We need to get to the point where it's an even if he doesn't, we will still serve him. Because his presence is what's good. His presence is more peace than we ever should need. It's more than enough for us. We have everything we need in his presence, right? Psalm 23 promises us right at the start, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, which means I have everything I need. So why are we still holding on to Babylonian idols? Babylonian friendships that keep us anchored in our past so that we have a Sunday version of us, and then we have a music festival version of us. Hello, somebody. Or we have a be around this group friends version of us. Why do we have to have different versions and remixes of ourselves when God has called us to be the same? Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even if he doesn't, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods and worship the image of gold you have set up. Okay, I'm going to start winding this up. So here's these three guys. Everybody's bowed down around them. And everybody around you will bow down to certain opinions. And it doesn't mean that you have to go with your opinion, even if it is biblically based, and start lighting another fire in your attitude. Maybe it's not just what you have to say, but it's how you say it sometimes. Right? And so they are in the fire of suffering. If God is good, why are they in the fire? There's a greater plan that God has. That even if they were consumed, they'd still be with God. But the Bible goes on to talk about how Nebuchadnezzar was like amazed. So he went from outraged to amazed, right? He asked it as his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, Your Majesty. And he looked and he said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a what? Son of the gods. He was a son of one of the gods. He was the son of the God. And he'd seen something in the faith of these men, and he'd seen something about with somebody who was in the fire of the furnace with them. He saw someone who eventually, about 700 years later, would go in the ultimate fiery furnace for us. This is a precursor to Jesus Christ, who was in the fire with them at that time, just reassuring them, hey, I'm saving you here, and I am coming to save all of humanity in the furnace of hell. I will take the keys of death, hell, and the grave and be resurrected on the third day. And Nebuchadnezzar approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Wow, it's amazing how songs have changed, right? DJ, cut the music. here's a new song I want you to play. Come out, come here. Oh, he wants to be friends now. This is what can happen if you just stay steadfast. There are people around you that are watching your faith. And if you bow down, it'll be like they've lost all hope, because you and your life being an example where God has called you is the only hope they have. But if they see you bowing at the altar of your addictions, or the altar of your former habits, or the altar of former relationships, especially us as parents, well, kids are watching. They learn more from our examples than they do from what we say. You may not see this in the picture behind me, but on this side, there's actually a shadow of Christ, and Christ is with us in our fire. And I want you to know that. And, you know, I just sensed there are people that came in here this morning that were like, man, I don't know if I can. It was a struggle to even get here this morning. I want to encourage you that there is somebody in that fire with you if you just will not bow down. And they saw the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head. So not a single hair. Their robes were not scorched. There was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trust in him and have defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces." Wow, Nebuchadnezzar is serious. "And their houses turns into a pile of rubbles, and no God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, they didn't do that just to get a promotion. But if you stay steadfast, promotion will be a natural fruit of it, because God will bring you before great men, people of influence. If you don't bow down, bowing down... Not bowing down does not mean you have to be outrageous in your replies to society, shouting at society, being fierily angry at society. But it's with favor and compassion that God wants to anoint you to be a shining light that will be steadfast amidst all of the opportunities you have to bow down. And some of us in this room, and again, I don't judge or condemn anybody in here. There have been times maybe that, you know, all of us have been under that pressure. And God's revealed what we thought was already bowed down. Areas of our lives that had already stayed steadfast have bowed down. We've compromised. This is our opportunity to repent. This is our opportunity to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. And maybe God's highlighting specific things that kind of show, well, I've been compromising in my friendships and the things that I'm passionate about. They caused me to compromise, and I'm not going to compromise anymore. I'm going to stand firm. And so when we see that Jesus himself would live in that environment as well, feeling the pressure of Roman society, he did not outrage and revolt against Jewish society, right? Or Roman rule. He went to the cross in order to build us up so that we can have eternal life. And so the question I have behind me is, what does it look like personally for us to live a life without compromise each day? I'm just going to pray for us this morning. I want to invite us towards an opportunity for both encouragement for those who are in the fire, and for those who may have, in certain areas, felt like, man, I want to give this area to God because I have compromised, or I haven't represented well, or I need God to move here because I have bowed my life down at the altars of lesser gods. So I want to give us an opportunity to respond this morning. If I can just invite everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. Maybe right where you are, if you're here this morning. And firstly, I just want to pray for specific people that are in this room today, and your desire is to say, man, I want to hand over this area of my life that maybe I've compromised in. Maybe I haven't lived out in accordance with His word. And I want to hand this over to God today. If that's you today, can I just invite you to lift your hands, because I want to pray for you. Lift your hands and surrender to Him. Just those areas. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for those who are just lifting up these specific areas of surrender to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you give them grace to be able to see that you still love us, you still care about us, and you're still willing to let your Son take the stand for us in the fiery furnace of sin so that we could be brought to a place of life and life in its fullness. Thank you, Lord, that we can embrace your grace, that we don't have to compromise anymore, that we can be the same wherever we are because you bought us at a price. Thank you that we are completely yours and you are ours. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.